Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Friday, July 18th. I'm Sigurd Bjørn, reporting for KMUD. If you've had your dial tuned to KMUD today, you will no doubt have heard of this. But we'd be remiss if we didn't open tonight's newscast with it. Here is Christine Alexandria with a brief recap.
Public and community radio stations across the country are bracing for severe cuts and staff layoffs after a vote in the House of Representatives today that officially strips the Corporation for Public Broadcasting of its funding. If there has ever been a time for you, dear listener, to come to the aid of your favorite community radio station, that time is now, particularly if your favorite community radio station is KMUD. Any given year, up to 30% of our budget, which is not big to begin with, comes from CPB. Thank you for your consideration.
And now on to tonight's newscast, which is largely dedicated to the Wiat tribe's affordable housing projects in Eureka. The projects are on a fast track to the finish line, largely due to the tribe's resourcefulness, diligence, and care. Ray Hamill's sports report is in its customary place at the end, where you can hear all about the crucial weekend the Humboldt Crabs have in store, as well as a recap of all the major sporting stories in the county. But now on to our main story, a KMUD News in-depth special on three different affordable housing projects by Dishkama, the Wiat Tribe's Community Land Trust, to work on two of the tribe's three housing projects in Eureka. Half of the award, which comes from FHL Bank San Francisco in partnership with Redwood Capital Bank, is earmarked for the senior housing development on 6th and L Streets in Eureka. These $2 million cap off the funding for the project. At a total cost of just shy of $27 million, the Lakihudak Senior Housing Project is now fully funded. Here is Tribal Administrator Michel Vassel on the project, whose Wiat language name translates to where the elders are.
Lakihudak, that's the elders project. That project is on 6th and L Street in Eureka. The city of Eureka had made available some city-owned land, and we were awarded the sites to do our construction. And that would create 52 senior apartment units that are affordable.
Affordable housing, as defined by the Department of Housing and Urban Development, refers to housing for which the occupant pays no more than 30% of their gross income for housing costs, including utilities.
Elders, because they're on fixed income, were really vulnerable. You know, if you only make $800 or $900 a month and the average going rent is $1,500, how are you supposed to make that? I mean, how are you supposed to do it? It also has space available for creating programs for elders. They also have a space that's going to be a native plant garden, open air, above ground. It's on the second story. It has a little circle 8 for getting your steps in. And also the planter boxes will be made to have a dual purpose of seating as well. So you can sit out there and you can walk around, you could garden, whatever you want.
The building will serve a dual purpose by housing a certified kitchen at ground level.
One of the things that's really hard to find in our area is certified kitchens. There's a lot of need for certified kitchens in our area. If you're somebody who makes and sells food, you need a certified kitchen in order to prepare that food in. If you basically make anything that goes to the public, you have to have a certified kitchen. And so, we created the space in our elders housing to be used for programs that serve seniors. So this will be available to anybody in our community who serves seniors. Like, for instance, the tribe has a Meals on Wheels program. We serve meals every day to elders across the county. We drive meals about 25 miles in each direction. Now imagine you could create the meals right there in this building, and everybody in the building would be eligible for food. It's a lot less driving around. Not that we would stop serving everybody else in the community, but if seniors live there, if elders live there, and we have programs that serve them, that we would have service in the center of where a lot of elders live. So that program right now is fully funded. We previously received a $3 million AHP grant from the Home Loan Bank of Des Moines, and then we received, I think June 18th, we were allocated LIHTC funding from the state tax committee, and then this basically finalizes the funding for this particular project. So that $2 million means that we have enough money to start our work. So what we're doing now is finalizing our permit with the City of Eureka. For people that have been following this through the city council, we were in a DDA with the city, which basically states like how we get to the place where they transfer the land to us. So that will be happening, we're hoping before December. And then, yeah, boom. We start construction.
Here is Eureka's Development Services Director, Kristin Kenyon, on how Tiskamu Humboldt got involved.
They were awarded the sites in 2023 through a competitive request for proposals process. And we've just been so impressed by the Dishkama and their philosophy on housing. And then on their consultant, Travois is really experienced. And they got these tax credits so quickly, and their projects are really special.
High praise indeed from the City of Eureka for Tiskamu Humboldt, whose members did extensive research on housing needs in the area before committing to any of the projects.
What we're doing with our housing projects is really about caring for this place where we live and caring for people that live in this place. And that's why Dishkama, which means love, is the name of our land trust, because we love this place and we love the people that live here. We spent 2 years studying like who needs housing and where do they need it. And what we found in our studies is that we had very young people, particularly people without safety nets coming out of foster care, and other people like college students that are far away from their families, you know, that are particularly vulnerable to the housing crisis and the unaffordability of housing.
The second vulnerable group were seniors, more than 50 of whom will now find a home in Lakil Hudak next to City Hall.
We prioritize those first. And then families, you know, were the other folks that were really struggling, is the people in the middle that have childcare needs and, you know, they're struggling to work, sometimes two jobs, trying to find childcare. So, you know, we combined all those things and listened to our community and really implemented them into the work that we're doing.
And family housing is the beneficiary of the other half of the $4 million grant from FHL Bank that closed out funding for the senior housing project. This project, called Guwik Hudak, is on the corner of 5th and D Street, a couple of blocks east of the IHOP.
Guwik Hudak, which is a similar project, it's also an affordable housing project. It's going to have 41 apartment units that are for families. And that particular project, this represents our first in our fundraising efforts. The housing for families has similar program space that's dedicated in this building. In this case, we found that, you know, in our area, we are really, really short on childcare, licensed childcare facilities. And so we decided to build dedicated licensed childcare facilities right there in the building. So imagine people that live in the building can bring their kids downstairs and drop them off at daycare and then head off to work, pick them up on their way home and go back upstairs. But also people that work, other people that live in Old Town, other people that work in Old Town will have a licensed childcare in their neighborhoods.
As mentioned, both projects will be built on what are now parking lots, and business owners who operate close to the proposed building sites have voiced their concern about potential loss of business. Here is Chris Larson, owner of North Coast Audio on Fifth Street, speaking at a public meeting about the projects last March.
I am concerned as a business owner who relies on every single bit of parking we get to get. I mean, not going to lie, parking's a big issue. And I'm scared to death about what this project is going to do to my business.
Another business owner weighed in on the matter at that same meeting.
I'm a small business owner downtown, and like other businesses in the area, I heavily rely on the 6th and L parking for my patrons. We've been fighting for parking for years, and now that's going to be removed. Why are we pushing away the people that shop down there, the people that actually work down there? It seems kind of tone deaf to say, hey, we know there's a parking issue. We've already gone over that, but we're going to ignore that and put up. What is the plan for that?
Does Kristen Kenyon, Eureka's Development Service Director, think the city is letting business owners down?
Not at all. We are working really hard on parking management and continue to do so. What we've determined is it's not so much a parking supply issue, it's a parking management issue. So an 85% parking occupancy indicates a healthy balance between supply and demand. And we are far below 85% based on these summer parking counts that we've been doing since 2011. And there's some parking lots that are less than a quarter of a mile from, you know, the very heart of Old Town. And they are relatively empty, even during busy times of the year. We're looking into a shuttle that would move from parking lot to parking lot on a regular interval to help people get from parking to other places. We also realized that our street parking wasn't being used efficiently. And so we started painting parking spaces so that you don't get those awkward gaps that waste space. And we evaluated our parking time zones and have adjusted those. And we want to keep doing that. And so there's quite a number of things we are doing to improve our parking management to get more out of our supply.
So that's a hard no on the parking issue from Kristen Kenyon. The city of Eureka is not leaving business owners in the lurch. Across five projects that are getting ready for construction downtown or downtown adjacent, 218 parking spaces will be lost from 3rd to 8th Street. But multiple countermeasures are being implemented and even more being explored, including the possible building of a parking structure.
It is an implementation measure of our newly adopted waterfront specific plan to explore the feasibility of building a parking structure.
Building a parking structure is seen as the golden solution, as one member of the business community put it to us. But it may turn out to be cost prohibitive. So who knows if it will ever be built. From what KMUD has gathered in preparing for this story, a handful of downtown business owners cite loss of parking as a worry, while others say Eurekans have been spoiled by abundance of parking and feel their customers will adjust to the changes. But ultimately, the city of Eureka has decided that there are better uses for those parking lots, and the city's voters seem to largely agree, judging by the comprehensive defeat of Measure F at last year's ballot box. But let's look at the flip side of this issue. What is being gained? The five parking lots will be replaced by a new regional transportation center, a commercial kitchen, a daycare facility for children, a host of commercial spaces, and 250 new housing units. That's at a minimum 380 new downtown residents, probably more, who will be utilizing those very same downtown businesses who fear losing customers with the disappearance of parking lots. Remember, all those 251 units will be affordable, meaning the residents will not pay more than 30% of their income in rent, which means better quality of life for them and more funds to spend on other things, other things that those businesses losing parking presumably can offer.
Part of the reason and the appeal of living in Old Town is the walkability of these buildings and also the transit connection ability. You can walk from our Guikudok site to the co-op and get your groceries. You can walk to downtown and, you know, go to Friday Night Market. You can walk from either one of these two sites to the 7th Street UHS clinic. There's access to the senior bus. There's access to Humboldt County Transit. There's access to Eureka City buses and things like that. So the idea is that we, you know, reduce our car use and we participate more in walkability, rideability, and bikeability. And that's kind of the direction that City of Eureka is going. And part of our community land trust is developing green housing. And that's part of our mission too, is developing housing that's infill housing, that's at existing developed spaces, as opposed to cutting down green space and developing in the suburbs. We're doing the opposite of that old song. They paved paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? It'd be a paradise. Put up a line. The Guikudok has a cascading green wall, so we're looking forward to really adding as much greenery back into that space that currently doesn't exist. Part of creation of Dishkama, our community land trust, was helping to do something about the housing crisis in our area. The cost of housing has been a really, 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 really big struggle for our people. We have people who've been here since time immemorial, and then they're suddenly being priced out of their homelands. They can't afford to live here anymore. And it's a struggle that's real, and it's not just we have people that are impacted by this. We recognize that the housing crisis affects everybody in our community. And one of the reasons that we just went full force in doing several large projects is because we want to make a big impact on reducing or increasing access to affordable housing in our community for everyone. We will be prioritizing our tribal members. So if our tribal members apply and they meet the income requirements, they'll be at the top of the list. But everybody's welcome. It won't be tribal member only. And that's the same for our Jurijiji youth housing.
The Jurijiji Housing Project is the third and last of the projects the Wiyot tribe is currently working on. The word means a place to stop and rest in the Wiyot language. Rather than building from ground up, this project will convert existing, unused, dilapidated buildings into homes for young adults at risk of becoming unhoused.
We are in progress right now of remodeling. We have we purchased two old Victorian buildings and a large commercial building, and we're working to remodel those into 39 housing units for youth. There'll be a small number of units for transition age youth that is really transition housing, and then the rest are permanent housing for people that are 18 to 24.
These fixer-uppers are located close to Eureka's main library, and even though the nature of the youth project is different from the senior and family dwellings, this same sustainable approach applies.
These two Victorians we bought for the Jurijiji Youth Housing Project, you know, they're 100 years old, and they've just been sitting there empty for years, you know, so when we're remodeling this house, we're putting life back into it. We're making it from something that wasn't useful to anybody in our community into something that is useful to people in our community that's being utilized as housing. And that commercial building is similar. You know, it was sitting there. It used to be the county's juvenile mental health center, but it hadn't been used in a long time. It sat empty for years.
So the youth housing project has already started. The senior facility is fully financed, and the first chunk of funding for the family dwelling secured. But when does Michelle Vassell expect all these projects to wrap up?
So one Victorian will be done in the fall, or it'll probably be closer to November, December. And then the second Victorian will be done in the spring, probably like more February or March. And then the final big commercial building that we're developing into housing, that's expected to be complete in August of 2026. The other two projects we're hoping to be done in 2027. We are really pushing forward on these two because we're trying to meet the city of Eureka's state mandated housing need. So that's our timeline for both of those projects. And while one is further along than the other, and they're probably not going to be happening exactly at the same time, they're going to be one after the other.
Considering the speed, efficiency, and care Dishkama Humboldt is putting into these projects, it's easy to see why people at Eureka's City Hall are impressed with the work the tribe is doing.
We also see that our work with housing is directly tied to climate change action. Because what we don't want to see is, we need to build more housing, just take down all the redwoods, you know, connect our cities from one to the other until we look like Southern California.
Took all the trees, put them in a tree museum, and they charged the people $1.50 just to see them. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
That was our report on the Wiatu Tribe's work on affordable housing in Eureka. We spoke to Michelle Vassell, the tribe's administrator, and Kristin Kenyon with the city of Eureka. You also heard from two business owners in Eureka, as well as Adam Duritz and the Queen of Folk, Joni Mitchell. Special thanks to Daniel Mintz, who contributed additional reporting to this piece. Here comes Ray Hamill with news of the Humboldt Crabs and all our other local sporting favorites.
The Humboldt Crabs will play their most important series of the summer so far this weekend as they look to secure a place in this year's Pacific Empire League Championship Series and possible home field advantage. Hello and welcome to this week's K-Mud News Sports Report. I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com. We'll have more on the Crabs' big weekend in just a moment as we take a look at all of the big local sports stories of the week, including all the latest on the local Little League All-Star teams, why teams from all around Northern California will be heading to the North Coast this weekend, and why it was a good week for the Southern Humboldt 76ers and for one Humboldt Crabs player in particular. But first up, the Humboldt Crabs are enjoying a big season at the Arcata Ballpark, including two more wins over Seals Baseball earlier this week. The race for the top two spots in the Pacific Empire League and a place in this year's League Championship Series is heating up as we head into the final 2 weeks of the regular season. The top two teams in the final league standings will advance to the Championship Series, and this weekend's series between league leaders, the Healdsburg Prune Packers, and the second place Crabs could go a long way towards deciding who gets the top seed and home field advantage for the Championship Series. The Prune Packers, who took two of three games from the Crabs in Healdsburg earlier in the summer, will travel to the Arcata Ballpark for three games. Healdsburg moved two wins clear of the Crabs in the league standings with a 10-3 win over the Medford Rogues on Wednesday night, but a weekend sweep for the Crabs would see them leapfrog the Prune Packers into top spot. The Lincoln Potters also remain in the chase for a spot in the Championship Series, and we're just 2.5 games back of the Crabs in third, heading into a Thursday night showdown against the Solano Mudcats. The big weekend series in Arcata gets underway on Friday night at 7, with the two clubs also playing on Saturday night at 6:30 and on Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Last weekend, the Crabs won 3 of 4 league games against the West Coast Kings. After dropping the opener 6-2, the Crabs swept a doubleheader on Saturday night, winning 6-4 and 4-1, before clinching the series with a 7-5 win on Sunday. They also got the better of Seals Baseball twice in non-league action this week, winning 9-1 on Tuesday and 9-2 on Wednesday. The Crabs are now 32-5 on the season and 14-5 in the Pacific Empire League. Elsewhere in local sports this week, it was a busy few days for the District Little League All-Star teams. The McKinleyville Junior League and 12-year-old All-Stars were in action, along with the Eel River 10s and the Redwood Empire 11s. The young Eel River players hosted their section tournament in Fireman's Park in Ferndale and battled back from an opening day extra innings loss to beat East Reading 12-5 on Sunday. However, their season would end the following day with a second tournament loss. The Redwood Empire 11-year-old All-Stars also dropped their section tournament opener in Chico, but battled back to win two straight elimination games to advance to the championship round. A memorable summer would end for the young Redwood Empire players in a 17-7 loss to section champions Chico Central. The McKinleyville 12-year-old All-Stars also qualified for the championship round at their section tournament, which was also held in Chico. On Tuesday night, McKinleyville won a thriller against a previously undefeated West Reading team by a score of 15-12 in 8 innings. The win was the third straight in an elimination game for the McKinleyville players and set up a winner-takes-all rematch against West Reading on Wednesday night. That game was another thriller between the two teams, with McKinleyville rallying late from a 7-run deficit with 8 runs in the top of the 6th inning. However, the West Reading players would not be denied and scored twice in the bottom half of the 6th inning to sneak a 14-13 walk-off win. The loss ended McKinleyville's season, while the victory for West Reading secured a place in the upcoming NorCal State Tournament. Rounding out a busy week for the local All-Star teams, the McKinleyville Junior League All-Stars were also in action at their NorCal State Tournament in San Jose. They opened with an 11-2 victory over Avocados of Valley Oak in 8 innings on Saturday, but would then drop back-to-back games to bow out of the tournament and end their memorable season. The Little League All-Star season may have ended for the local contingent of teams, but the action on the North Coast will continue this weekend as Redwood Empire Little League gets set to host the NorCal State 10-year-olds tournament at the Redwood Fields in Cutton. Elsewhere in local sports, it was a good week for the Southern Humboldt 76ers. The local American Legion 17U team won the Humboldt Eagles tournament on Sunday with a 12-2 win over the host team in Cutton. The 19U Eagles tournament, meanwhile, was won by the Napa Valley Baseball Club, with the Eagles placing third. The Eagles closed out with a 12-9 victory over the Colts A team in the third place game at Bilotti Field in Eureka. The Eagles 19U team, which includes all-star players from all around Humboldt and Del Norte counties, will now turn its attention to this week's Area 1 tournament in Fairfield, which runs through Sunday. And rounding out a busy week in sports, Humboldt Crabs player Elijah McNeil has been drafted by the San Francisco Giants. The recent high school graduate, who has committed to UC Davis, was taken in the 20th round of this week's MLB draft and is still deciding on whether to join the Giants organization or play college ball. And that's this week's K-Mud News Sports Report. Until next time, I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, and thanks to our reporters, Christine Alexandria and Ray Hamill. For K-Mud, I am Sigurd Bjørn. Thank you for listening.
K-Mud News is online. You can find us on kmud.org and now streaming on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, where you can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening during your rural commute. You can also follow us on social media. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud.org.
Redwood Community Radio is funded by Press Forward, a national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news.